God, we thank you for the fathers, for the grandfathers, and for all the father figures, for the protectors and providers, for the heroes and leaders, for our mentors and friends. Today we ask you to bless them, to give them wisdom and patience, courage and kindness. We pray for all the sons and daughters, to honor their fathers, to remember their wisdom, and to cherish their love. We pray for the fatherless and for those who have brokenness with their father. Show them a father's love through your love. Today, would you care for those who care for us and empower them for their holy purpose?
My name is Anatoly. I'm one of the elders here at Harbor City. For those who don't know me, happy Father's Day to all the fathers in the house. It's one of my favorite days. It gives me opportunity to wear my favorite t-shirt here. One guy asked me, Travis asked me this morning if I lost a bet that I put this t-shirt. Says, no, it's a voluntarily self-humiliation. That's what I'm doing. I'm really proud of to be father of this wonderful girl here. I love her to pieces, my wonderful daughter, Elizabeth. In the past couple of weeks, we've been in a Holy Spirit series. We've been looking at the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And we discovered so much of what Holy Spirit does in our lives. He is the one who leads us to Jesus. He is the one inspires and fuels our faith. He is the one sustains us in our following Jesus. He is the one draws us near to God. He is the one stirs desires in our heart. He is the one sets us free. Holy Spirit. And today I'm going to continue with this series, and I titled my sermon, The Keys of the Father. You may ask, who is giving such a title to their sermons? I do. The Keys of the Father. Is sound all right, Lyle? Do we need to do some adjustment because I can hear all kind of noises? All right. I just didn't want to start before we have our sound figured out. Please join me in reading these three scriptures that I have for you this morning, and after that, we will do a little bit of a heart-to-heart conversation. First one from Book of Ephesians. Praise be to God. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and will. To the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the message of truth of the gospel of your salvation. When you believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of his glory. The second passage from Book of Galatians, chapter 3 and 4. So in Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith. When the set time had fully come, God sent his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law, that we might receive adoption to sonship. Because you are His sons, God sent the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, the Spirit who calls out, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but God's child. And since you are His child, God has made you also an heir. And the last one from the book of Luke. So he got up and went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him. I would like us to see something from the scriptures. You and I, we are on a journey. It's a journey from orphanship to sonship, to fully embracing, to fully stepping into our sonship that we received in Christ. We are from different countries. We have different stories. We were raised in different families. But there is one thing that you and I, we have in common. We all have one forefather whose name is Adam. Adam was created by God for a very unique, intimate relationships. Apart from all creation, Adam and Eve, God created them masterfully so they could enjoy closeness and intimacy and fellowship. We read how in the cool of day, Adam was walking with his father God in the garden. I can only imagine the conversations, the dance of love, the intimacy, the joy of that intimacy that was filling Adam's and Eve's hearts. But there was a day when Adam decided to take life in his own hands. He figured out that he wants to be like God, that he wants to be on his own. He listened to the voice of the devil, decided to eat the forbidden fruit. By doing that, Adam renounced his sonship. It caused great tragedy, alienation, separation from God. That separation, that distance between a man and a God brought about terrible, awful condition that became part of human condition ever since then. It became part of yours and my condition, orphanship. But God wasn't going to leave it like that. He had a plan. Let's just zoom into some of the scriptures we just read. In love, He predestined us for adoption to sonship. Just think about it. He thought about you before the foundation of the world, and He said, I want you to be my son. I want you to be my daughter. Why? Why? I'm kind of a person that likes to know the why. Why God would do that? Why God would call us and predestined us to adopt us so we would be His kids? It wasn't because of the obligation. It wasn't because He had to. It wasn't because it was just the right thing to do. Paul says it right here, in love. There was only one reason. I really like how he expands it and he says, accordance with His pleasure. This Greek word pleasure can also be translated as a desire. God desired you. I want you to hear that today, this morning. You, yes, you bring God pleasure. When God looks at you, when God has fellowship with you, you bring Him pleasure. He enjoys your company. He desires you. He wants you. That's why He predestined you and I to adopt us to sonship. Then Paul says, adoption to sonship. What is that? In Roman culture of that day, there was a practice. When a rich man who didn't have any kids, any heir, he was about to die or was getting old, he would choose one of his slaves, male or female, to adopt to sonship. Sonship was a legal status. It meant that person was given brand new identity. All the debts, all the debts were paid off. They were forgiven. The person would step into the full right of a son or a daughter in this household. This is exactly what happened to us. Our debts were removed. The price that was paid for that was the blood of Jesus. We were given new identity as the children of God. Christ accomplished that, but it's not that. To seal it, God gave us Holy Spirit. He sends His Holy Spirit in our hearts to seal it, to mark us for adoption. You know, when you sign an important document, when you create agreement, you put a seal on it. What it means? It means it cannot be undone. It means that back then, once you adopted a child, you can't disown this child. That's a permanent act. So we were sealed by the Holy Spirit that He gave us on our hearts. In book of Galatians, there are some similar thoughts, but I really like how Paul describes it. We can see the Trinity in action. God has sent His Son so we can receive adoption. But then, because you are His children, God sent His Holy Spirit in your hearts. The Holy Spirit that from within you makes you cry out, Abba, Father. You know, New Testament was written in Greek language. But Paul here realized that the Greek word father, which is patre, wasn't enough to really communicate what the Holy Spirit crying out from inside of us. So he puts this Hebrew word Abba, which is in English language, the closest word we would have would be daddy. It's an intimate relationship that's possible between a child and a father. Elizabeth, we have two words in Russian, formal word like a father, and then papa. It's an intimate word. There is a word that doesn't mean any distance, any gaps in relationships. It's so close. It's so familiar. So this is what Holy Spirit crying out. Now, it is one thing to understand our sonship and claim it by faith, to believe in what the Word of God says and just claim it. And that's okay. This is what we should do. We should read the Word of God, we should believe what it says, and we should claim it as true. But I want to tell you this morning that there is another dimension. Holy Spirit makes the love of a Father real to us. He makes it in the way that we can feel it, in the way that we can, on a bodily level, experience Father's love. I remember one day I was walking in a park. Elizabeth was just a few months old, and I was taking her into the park. And I saw there was another young dad. He had a son with him, maybe 4 or 5 years old. They were playing, they were doing something together, and then the dad picked his boy and gave him a kiss. You should have seen how the face of that kid lit up with joy. Let's talk about kiss for a second. It's such an unnecessary thing. It's not practical. What is that? Like, what is this? Like, really? It's absolutely unnecessary. This guy, this little boy, knew that father loved him because father provided for him, cared for him, fed him.
But there was something extra with a kiss. He felt loved.
Holy Spirit makes it in the way that our soul gets saturated with the knowledge of the love of God. So much so that that knowledge shapes our identity. So much so that that knowledge gives us brand new lenses to look at life through. Holy Spirit makes us experience the joy of our adoption, the joy of our sonship. So much so that our heart, from the depths of our being, we can cry out, Abba, Father. This is the work of the Holy Spirit in us. Father still kissing his kids. Your heavenly Father still wants you to experience his kiss. That's the kiss that brings healing. That's the kiss that sets free. That's the kiss that mends broken heart. That's the kiss. I was born in a family of an alcoholic father. My father died from alcoholism when I was 6 years old. My father was only 35 by then. I don't recall many intimate times with my father. I only have few memories, and I cherish every memory I have. Growing up, I don't remember too many son-father type connections where a child would receive attention or affirmation from his father. Growing up, I didn't have many of those. Those are the connections that shape sense of identity, shape sense of your worth, sense of you know, like well-adjusted personality or well-adjusted view of self or others. After my father passed away, the other men started to come into our lives. My mom, she was a beautiful woman. She was in her mid-30s, and she was getting some attention from men. And many men were coming, seeking, you know, my mother. And I always felt like I was in a way. I always felt like I was a hindrance. I always heard something like, can't you send him to the grandma? Can you go for a walk, or can you just go somewhere? They didn't want me, they wanted my mom. But every time some man would stick around for a bit longer, I felt myself attached to this man. I needed that affirmation, I needed this connection, I needed that whatever, like a little bit of acceptance. So one day, some of these men, they were kind to me and gentle, and it was the best day of my life. But then the other day, they were angry with me or irritated with me. And that caused me lots of pain and rejection. And I had to learn how to get on their good side in order to feel somewhat accepted, somewhat loved. Growing up in an environment like that, there are a few lies I started to believe about myself. I am not lovable as I am. This lie got rooted deeply in my soul, that in order to be accepted, in order to be loved, I need to behave a certain way. I need to perform a certain way. So I learned to put on masks in order to fit in. I would do anything. Please do not abandon me. I will be anything you want. I will say yes to anything you ask me. I will please you. I will do whatever you want. Please don't reject me. The fear of abandonment and the fear of rejection became the driving force, the underlying force driving my life. At the age of 16, God found me. And then my journey to sonship has begun. This is what I learned from this journey. Even though legally our adoption happens on the moment we come to the Lord and we confess Jesus and we receive Jesus as our Lord and Savior, we become God's children through faith right there and then. But there is a residual odor or residue of orphanship that still dwell in us, still dwell in our soul. And you can't just pray it away. You can't just come to the altar to receive altar call and expect that it will be gone. It's a process. As we grow into our sonship, as we open our heart to the work of the Holy Spirit, that sonship, once it takes place deeper and deeper and deeper in our soul, it pushes away the ownership, the residue of ownership. One truth at a time, one experience at a time, one encounter with the Holy Spirit at a time, step by step, it's a lifetime process that takes place. But that journey has begun for me. I remember one time, it was just time when we moved here to Regina. And Elizabeth and Natalie were supposed to come because I was here first by myself for a couple months, getting a job, getting an apartment. And I remember I bought a chicken and put it in the freezer so that when my family comes, we have something to eat. And then I went on the road. I was a truck driver. And then straight from there, I took a flight to go to Toronto to meet them. When we came back, when we opened the door and said, "Hey guys, this apartment I got you, let me show you around." As soon as we opened the door of this apartment, first thing that we noticed was a terrible smell. It was just a stink, like, what's going on? So what happened? At some point, they turned the light off. They turned the power in the building, and it was off for quite some time. So that chicken that was in the freezer, it's gone like really bad. So, of course, we took it away. But that smell, I'm telling you, it took us a long time. I think I was fighting with administration, so they gave us a new fridge. That, because it got into the plastic, it got into the vent, it got everywhere. Same with the orphanship. It gets everywhere. It influences the way we see life, and influences what we feel, our filters. It goes there. So once we start our journey, even though chicken, so to say, was removed, the odor, the residual odor is still there. And that's where Holy Spirit starts His work. As the love of God, wave after wave, washes over your heart. It's like an ocean waves that smooth those big rocks that are so sharp, but then from the water they become smoother and smoother. The same way, Holy Spirit washing over our heart, removing that residual odor of ownership from our hearts. There are a couple lenses that the way orphans see life. One of these lenses is like this residue. It's, I'm on my own. No one really cares for me. To the orphan, the world is dog eats dog, or every man for himself. It makes orphan being threatened by other people, especially people who seem better than him or her. It makes orphan compare all the time. Orphan feels like he or she needs to make a room for themselves, make a way for themselves. Everything is a competition for the orphan. There are lots of comparison going on, lots of striving going on, lots of proving yourself going on. Another lens, the way orphan sees life, it's life is a pie. It's like a one big pie and everybody gets a slice. But it means if somebody got bigger slice, it means you get smaller size. So you get a fight to get your pie. It would lead orphan to feel always anxiousness about not getting enough. Enough of provision, enough of attention, enough of affirmation, enough of approval, enough of praise. There are lots of envy and jealousy going on in the heart of an orphan. It's anxiousness about your future, anxiousness about your place in this world. There are much more. But those are the residual lenses that the way orphan sees life. But once Holy Spirit starts His work in our heart, and once we grow into our sonship, there is one interesting thing that happens. More and more, we start discovering this sense deep in our soul. It's a sense of security. You feel secure. More and more secure. That security is not rooted in anything that has to do with you. It's not about your skills, your performance, the fruit you bring, your looks, your possessions. Because if our security is based on any of those things, it's very flaky. If you base your security on your good looks, just give it a time. Give it a few years. I'm telling you, it's going to be gone. Yeah, Joel, I can hear him saying amen, yeah. Yeah. Joel's hair gets less and less, and so if he was to put his security in his hair, he would be in trouble. Yeah, I know. The security that we discover in our hearts has to do with the one simple but powerful truth. We are loved by God.
Amen.
Loved by God. But not just loved. We are fully known and loved.
Amen.
I want to explain this thought. I don't want you to miss it. I want us to think about this quote by one of my favorite Bible teachers, Tim Keller. This is what he says. To be loved but not known, it feels good, but it's artificial. Why? When people don't know you, let's say you did something well, you performed well, you look good, you preached well, you sang a good song, and people say, oh yeah, I like this guy, I love him, they don't love you. They just love little thing about you. Something you showed them, something they see about you. They don't know you. That's why that love, it's not really reaching the deep parts of our souls. Then he goes and he says, being known and not loved, it's our greatest fear. That's why we don't want people to see us the way we are. That's why we put on masks. That's why we project image. That's why we try to show only our good sides. Because we think, what if they really know who I am? But then he says, to be fully known and loved, it's like heaven. This is our greatest need. It brings freedom. Fully known and loved. On a good day, you're loved. On a bad day, you're loved. On a day you walk in a victory over your sin, you're loved. On a day when sin took over, you're loved. On a day people like what you do, you're loved. On the day people throw rotten tomatoes on you, you're loved. On the day you achieved something outstanding and you have something to show for yourself, you're loved. On the day you failed, you're loved. On the day you're poor, you can drive a good car, wear good clothes, you're loved. On the day you can't afford to buy a car at all, and you buy clothes at a second-hand store, you're loved. On the day your feet and your body, you look in the mirror and say, oh yeah, I like that guy or that girl in the mirror, you're loved. On the day you go out of shape, like me, you know, And you look in the mirror and say, oh boy, like what are those things around my belly? And what are those? You know, you loved. That unconditional love of God. God who knows you. Who knows you deep the way nobody knows and still loves you. That love gives us such a security. Why sometimes we don't feel it? I can ask you to come and play a few chords here. There is an issue I want to touch. You know, you may not see lots of points on the screen today, and it's not like I forgot about them. I actually intentionally didn't put any points. Today is one of those pointless messages, you know. Because actually, I only have one point. And I hope that you will go home feeling something rather than just having something here. We live in a very interesting time. We live in a time where our spiritual life, it happens on the go. Our lives are quite busy, a bit preoccupied. We have many things going on. So our spirituality happens on the go. We don't create space in our lives for the Holy Spirit to work deeply in us. We try to squeeze in some practices, spiritual disciplines in our busy life here and there, rather than trying to build our life around those crucial and important practices that bring us into the presence of God. So we can stand under His spout of grace and allow those waves of love to wash over our hearts. It's a time of personal worship. It's a time of quiet time where we sit and meditate about God's love and His character and His faithfulness. It's time when we listen to His voice in quietness, in stillness. Let's learn to create space. Let's learn to create room for the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Think about it like a fire. Holy Spirit's like a fire that's burning in our soul. But so many times we just put wet towel on that. Through just too much clock, too many things that cry for our attention. We give our energy, we give our affection, we give our love to too many things. Sometimes we wonder why I'm not hungry for the Lord the way I once was. Could it be because we satisfy our hunger from other sources? Could it be there are so many junk food that we consume that it doesn't really have any nutrition, but it still fills our soul, some entertainment, some other things, not necessarily sinful things, just but other things. So day goes by and you don't even feel like you have desire to be with the Lord. So when we leave this kind of lifestyle, what happens? That fire kind of quenched. So what Holy Spirit could have done in us, it's not happening to the same extent. Oh, what would happen if we learn to slow down? If we learn to live our lives in a way to leave space for the Holy Spirit in our lives. Romans 5:5, Paul said that the love of God was poured out in our hearts, has been poured out in our hearts. How? By the Holy Spirit. When we have this moment, when we have this time with the Lord, Holy Spirit has an opportunity to kiss you, to kiss your soul. So so you don't only know that you're a child of God and just claim it just simply by faith, but you could experience this in the depths of your being. You can raise your hands as Abba, Father, Daddy. Oh, that brings such a security. I want to end by talking about Jesus. Jesus showed us the way relationship with the Father could be. You may say, well, that's what Jesus. We are called co-heir with Christ. In the book of John, Jesus said the Father loved you and I with the same love He loved Jesus. Father loves you the same way He loved His Son Jesus. And He wants to have the same type of intimate, close relationship with you as we see in the life of Jesus. Did you know that every single prayer, excluding for one, that Jesus prayed in the New Testament, that was recorded in the New Testament, starts with a Father? You know, it wasn't like that before. In the Old Testament, people related to God differently. There are many other ways you can relate to God. There are many attributes that God has. You can relate to Him as, oh, Holy One, oh, Mighty One, Great One. And all of those are true. They all describe qualities of our God. But the way Jesus relayed to God, Father, when disciples came and asked Him, teach us to pray, our Father. In the garden, on the day when Jesus was betrayed, Father, if You're willing, take this cup from Me, yet not My will, but Yours be done. On the same day, recorded in a different book, now My soul is troubled. And what shall I say? Father, save Me from this hour? No. Father, glorify Your name. On the cross, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. On the cross, Father, in Your hands I commit My spirit. Father invites you in a close, deep and intimate relationship with You through His Holy Spirit. We received adoption in Christ, but He sent His Holy Spirit in our hearts to make it real to us. So it would become the very foundation upon which we will be living our life, living from the place of loved by God. That enables us to forgive. That enables us to change. That enables us to love others. That enables us to be fathers and mothers to our children. That enables us to love our neighbors. That enables us to commit ourselves to God's will. That drives us to this desire to be obedient to the Lord and walk in holiness. Not other way around. You don't obey God to be loved, but you want to obey Him because you're loved. How is this possible? When I think about it, it makes me speechless. I'm in awe that me, this orphan boy, so broken, so messed up, was found by God, who adopted me, who became my Father, who knows me, my deepest secrets, my dirt, my messiness, my brokenness, and yet loves me so gently and deeply. How is it possible? I told you there was one prayer when Jesus didn't call God Father.
That was the prayer when he was on the cross, crucified. And he said, my God, why have you forsaken me? In order for you and I to experience adoption, Jesus, the Son of God, had to experience abandonment, had to experience alienation. That was unbearably difficult. That was what the suffering is all about. It wasn't the mocking of a people and rejection of a people, even beating. No, those things were quite easy to handle. But separation from the Father, when your sins and my sins were on Him on that cross, Father had to judge the sin on Him. He became sin for us. Father had to turn His back from His Son and reject His Son so He could accept you and I. When you want to remind yourself about the love of God, close your eyes and think about the cross. There is no greater proof of God's love. Think about the cross. As you do, you will feel Holy Spirit pouring the love of the Father in your heart. Let's just close our eyes for a moment. I want to finish by praying this prayer that Apostle Paul prayed for church in Ephesus. When I think of all this, I fall to my knees and I pray to the Father. I pray that your roots will grow down into God's love and keep you strong. And may you have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, and how deep His love is. May you experience the love of Christ, though it is too great to understand fully. Then you will be made complete with all the fullness of life and power that comes from God. Father, oh, thank you for loving us. You found us and you adopted us. You made us your sons and daughters. Holy Spirit, you're the gentle dove. Make the love of Father real to us again this morning. Oh, let us experience again. Let our hearts be filled. I'm praying for the brokenhearted, Lord. I'm praying for my brothers and sisters that have wounds of orphanship, wounds of rejection, wounds of abandonment. Oh, Holy Spirit, there is no one who can heal those wounds but you. I'm praying for your deep work in every heart this morning. Everyone who hears my voice, Holy Spirit, I'm asking you, in the wonderful name of Jesus, let them experience the power of Father's love. Let healing flow, river of healing. Hearts are mending. Wounds are being healed. worship you today. Help us to live our lives, Lord, from this deep knowledge of how much we love by you. Help us to go back to our families, go back to our jobs, go back to our life, living in full awareness of your love. We thank you. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Well, church, enjoy the rest of your Sunday. Again, happy Father's Day to all the fathers and grandfathers. God bless you, church. Go with the Lord. We'll see you next Sunday. Thank you, Lord.
Well, that brings us to the end of our time together. We hope that you found right where you needed it. Before you go, share the love and post this inspiring video to your page. Who knows how many lives could be impacted by it? And if you aren't already, like, follow, and turn on your social media notifications to keep up to date on all the exciting things happening at our church. Here at Harvest City, we're all about connecting with our community and celebrating those big moments. Like if you've recently decided to fully dedicate your life to Jesus. We'll be your cheerleaders and help you take those first steps. And if you're going through a tough season, let us know how we can help you. Plus, we've got tons of programs for kids, youth, and adults if you're looking for a new community to be part of. To send us a message or check out more about HCC, head over to our website, harvestcity.ca. To all of our financial partners, thank you for investing into the kingdom of God. Your generosity allows us to keep doing what we're called to do and reach even more people. If you're interested in contributing, please visit harvestcity.ca/giving for more info. Thanks for being here. Keep living your call, and we'll catch you again soon.